Before we start, I want to read you something that is so cute, just for fun. My friend Rosie brought me this morning. A mother was concerned about her kindergarten son, Timmy, walking to school alone. He didn't want his mama walking with him. She wanted to give him the feeling that he had some independence, but yet she needed to know he was safe. So she asked a friend of hers to walk with them. The next school day, the neighbor and her little girl set out following behind Timmy as they walked to school with another girl he knew named Susie. She did this for the whole week. As the two walked and chatted, kicking stones and twigs, Susie noticed the same lady was following them, as she seemed to do every day all week. And finally she said to Timmy, "Have you noticed that there's a lady following us to school this week? Do you know her?" Timmy said, "Yeah, I know who she is." And the little girl said, "Well, who is she?" And he said, "That's just Shirley Goodnest." Timmy replied, "And her daughter, Marcy." "Shirley Goodnest? Why is she following us?" "Well," Timmy said, "every night my mom makes me say the 23rd Psalm with my prayers because she worries. And in the Psalm it says, 'Shirley Goodnest and Marcy shall follow me all the days.'" William Jones, the pastor of the Bethany Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, tells about a woman, an elderly black woman in his parish or his community. And he asked her one day how she was doing, and she said, "Oh, preacher, I'm somewhere between thank you, Jesus, and Lord have mercy." And most of us live there, don't we? With both gratitude for God's goodness and regret, which makes us need his mercy. We are people on a journey, and we're growing, hopefully, in our relationship with God, who makes himself known to us through his son Jesus. David was on that same journey, growing in his relationship to God. And David experienced both his goodness and mercy. And it's reflected in the verse 6, the very last verse of Psalm 23. Leading a life worth living is what we've been talking about in this course. And I think that one of the aspects of leading a life worth living is leading a life of confidence. What kind of confidence does God want us to have? Self-confidence? Certainly, God wants us to have self-confidence. He wants us to understand our value, our worth as human beings. Too little self-confidence makes us timid messengers and scared sheep. But too much self-confidence can lead to arrogance, and that can be terribly dangerous. So self-confidence is not really reliable in leading a life worth living. The kind of confidence that is reliable to lead a life worth living is not self-confidence, it's God confidence. In fact, and I found this interesting, I love words, the Latin root of that word, confidence, is, I think you pronounce that fides or fides, fides. Fides means faith. And con is the prefix to that word. Con means with. So a life of confidence is a life of faith. Living life with faith. And that means more than faith in ourselves. It means faith in our shepherd. Faith in our guide. Faith in our leader. Faith in the one who is going to show us the way. Today we'll wrap up our study of Psalm 23 by looking at the last verse, verse 6, which says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we examine this verse today, we'll see that the theme of the whole psalm is about living confidently as part of God's flock. We're going to look at three things today. We're going to look at how we fail. And then later after the groups, we're going to look at how God follows. And then we're going to look at what it means to be in God's flock. So let's start at the top by looking at how we fail. First of all, we wander. Isaiah 53, the prophet said it so beautifully. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned on his own way. And that's so true. We've strayed. And not just us, even the Bible biggies were far from perfect. Abraham struggled to believe in God's promise. Jacob tried to cheat his way through life. Joseph was such an immature, boastful teenager that his brothers sold him into slavery. Samson was a womanizing drunk. David became a power-abusing adulterer. And David's son, Solomon, was a very unwise, wise man who broke nearly every proverb that he made up. And the litany of errors just continues even after Jesus came. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied him. All the disciples deserted him. And Paul persecuted his followers. So it shouldn't surprise us when we stray. Are we like sheep? I've learned a lot about sheep in this course. It's been really interesting to find out about sheep. Who knew? And I've learned that sheep are sort of woolly wonders that trot faithfully behind the shepherd until they don't anymore. And they wander away completely ignoring the shepherd. They can destroy the land on which they feed, or they can fertilize it and enrich it. They can agitate each other until the whole group panics. And yet without each other, they're defenseless against predators. That's really not such a bad description of us in many ways, is it? Though God gives us green pastures, we wander away. He gives us clear water and we choose to drink in polluted, muddy puddles. Sometimes we're faithful, but more often we need to be restored, led back to the flock. We're invited to eat at God's table, but we reject the invitation, put other priorities first. We egg each other on with fear until fighting breaks out, and yet we vitally need each other. As a result of our wandering, we'll find ourselves wondering, does God really love me? Is he really there? Especially in this dark valley. I read something interesting. You know how babies love the game peekaboo? Mama holds a blanket up in front of her face and waits a minute or two and then puts it down and says peekaboo, and baby laughs and laughs. Developmental psychologists will tell you that the reason for that is a concept called object permanence. Babies have difficulty understanding that if they can't see something, it hasn't left the room. So when mama puts the blanket up, they think mama's gone, and they get agitated. But when mama lowers the blanket, they're excited. It's a joyful surprise. Sometimes we Christians struggle with this whole concept of object permanence with regard to God. If we can't see him, if we can't feel his presence, then we think he's gone, or perhaps was never there. When our lives are full of suffering and our prayers aren't immediately answered as we wish they would be, we wonder, has he left? Has he died? Was he ever really real? And not only do we wonder if God's there, we wonder if he really loves us. if he really knows how we are and can love us still. So we wander, and we wonder, and that leads to worry. We don't live with confidence. We worry about the past and the mistakes we've made. We worry about the future and what may happen, and so we can't enjoy the blessings of today. When we're in the valleys of life, we're afraid, and we have no confidence that our shepherd is still with us. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, not to worry about the rest of your days? If you're young, and I don't see a lot of young people here today, but if you're young, that's a lot of days that you don't have to worry about, a lot of decisions. If you have kids, that's a whole nother reason to worry. Those of us of a certain age can't help addressing end-of-life issues, too. As the years are numbered, our health declines, our minds become forgetful, our body shows the inevitable signs of aging. My sister and I were driving back from choir practice last night, and she said she was complaining about some ailment she had, and she said, "I swear, as I get older, everything on my body's either shrinking or sagging or drying out." I empathize. And then there's all that worry about, am I going to have enough money to last me till the end? Or will I have help when I can't take care of myself? With all of that, it's really hard not to worry. As David brings this wonderful song to a close, he declares he's not worried about all the days of his life that remain. Now, I want to know how David can say that. Because frankly, I'd like to say that. I believe the reason David can be so confident is because he understands something we keep forgetting. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall abide in the house of the Lord forever. That Hebrew word, follow, is really a much more aggressive word. It would be much better translated, pursue. God pursues us with his goodness and mercy. Throughout this psalm, David says, I'm in God's flock. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I'm not like that poor sheep on the other side of the fence. I felt so sorry for those poor sheep that Mr. Keller kept talking about. They were pest-ridden and weak and thin and about to die, and they're looking at the fence, across the fence, at that bunch of sheep that were rested and well-fed in the green pastures, and they couldn't get there. David says, we're in God's flock. We have green pastures. We have clear water. We have what we need. I can lead my life in absolute confidence because even though I wander and wonder and worry, God pursues me with his goodness and his mercy. And that loving pursuit can be seen throughout the Bible. It's not just in Psalm 23. After Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord and introduced sin into the world, God pursued humanity, calling and eventually forming the Israelites, the group that he was going to use to reveal himself to the rest of the world. But after they fell into sin, after they turned away from his flock, God sent pursuit again in the form of prophets and kings to lead them back into the fold. But they killed the prophets, or they disregarded the kings and the men that God sent. But still God didn't give up. He pursued. And in the shadow of the Roman Empire, in a tiny, insignificant village, he chose a young virgin girl, and he sent his son to show us what he's like. We can be confident that God loves us because Jesus came to show us that love. You have not chosen me, Jesus said. I have chosen you. And he demonstrated that goodness and mercy throughout his life, in both his words and his actions. And David, in a burst of inspiration 1,000 years before Jesus was born, sums it all up when he says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, have mercy. Amen.